Blog Talk Radio.
Rich Wilson, welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And I can't believe it is May 1st tomorrow, literally 4 hours away from the end of April. And it just seems like the season is flying by. I mean, we just got started and we're, you know, a sixth of the way done. And I don't know about you guys, but it has been a weird year. That's the only way to say it. Just tons of injuries. I know with the new 10-day DL, it's made fantasy leagues kind of more difficult. And I made the decision this week, and it really is not just me. Next year in all of our dynasty leagues, and there are five of them associated with the show, all of them are going to at least go to five DL slots. We're at three now because people's teams are just littered with guys on the disabled list. And while it adds a strategy component, I mean, enough's enough. I can't imagine if you're playing a free league on ESPN where you get one DL slots and three bench spots and you're in a 10-team league. I mean, you've got like quality guys that are sitting out on the waiver wire, and it's going to, as soon as they're off the waiver wire, it's the first guy to it. That's just no fun, right? I mean, that's just the first guy close to the computer kind of gets the guy. And I just don't like that. So I know people that listen to this show are probably playing a little bit more serious leagues, and I get that, but it has changed. I know Tim and I have talked about it a lot over the winter time, but I think it's the 10-day DL has changed the game even more than I thought. And it's weird because I've got like Rajah Davis in the team, and he went on the DL at the beginning of the week. It was retro back to last week, and I don't even know. So he was on a weekly league in my outfield, and I'm probably going to play him next week because he's going to be back on Tuesday, supposedly. So it's a weird thing, particularly you play in weekly leagues, which, again, most of the professional leagues, you know, the NFBC, et cetera, and a lot of the Tout Wars and so forth, they all play in weekly leagues. It's weird if you lose a guy on Monday, which happens a lot. Guy hits a DL Monday or Tuesday. Do you sit him for the second week if it's a little minor injury? So it's kind of changing the whole strategy by which we play this game, particularly for weekly leagues. And I'm still getting used to it. And I know a lot of you guys are still getting used to it. But it's something that I think we need to continue to evolve and figure out what is going on. So to me, the number of injuries and the amount of people in the DL has really changed stuff. And then just, you know, teams playing really well. I mean, the Yankees, I mean, good grief. They look really good. They got beat today, but they came back from nine down on over the weekend, and they came back from two down in the ninth inning today. And they look real. I mean, I didn't think they were quite ready this year, but they look like they're starting to come back. And the Nationals, oh my word, they scored 23 runs today. I mean, and the Mets, are simply imploding. We're going to talk with Timmy as soon as he gets on the air about what I'm calling Tube Gate with Noah Syndergaard. What a mess. And it just seems like the Mets are always just in turmoil. Colorado Rockies look like they may be for real. Arizona Diamondbacks are playing better than they should. And then the Padres are terrible. We knew that. Braves are terrible. We kind of knew that coming in. So it's kind of been a very strange season for me so far, and just trying to make sense of it. My teams are playing great. I'm very, very happy with most of the leagues I've got. My NFBC team has fallen apart, but my dynasty leagues, besides one, are going quite well. And I'm very, very happy with that because those are long-term keeper leagues, and it's nice to see the building of those leagues finally taking shape. Before I bring Tim on the line, just if you want to get a hold of us, the best way to do that is on Twitter, at Rich Wilson P361, at Rich Wilson P361, to get the great Tim McCloud, at Timothy LMC, at Timothy LMC. If you want to go out and rate and review us, you can do that on iTunes. So simply go out there and say whatever you want. Hopefully you'll say nice things. If you don't, then it'll be forever out there, and it'll hurt Tim and my feelings. Anyway, without further ado, let's bring on the great Tim McLeod. Timmy, how are you?
Good, Rich. Yourself?
Tim, I'm doing well, and I don't know about you. Are you enjoying this baseball season? I know I am, because it is chock full of weirdness, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's been rather unique, to say the least. I'm home 24/7, I've been following it pretty close, and it's definitely had its moments. I'm just glad I had a day yesterday and today to rest up, because it's been a little bit hectic around here, and because of some doctor's orders, we got some construction happening at the house, Rich.
Interesting.
When you check out of the hospital, the doctor always gives you his orders, right?
Yep.
Okay, well, unfortunately, because of one of them, believe it or not, we're actually putting another floor on the house.
What? A second floor or a bottom? What do you mean another floor?
Well, you know the doctor's orders, right? That they give you when you check out. Okay, well, they went through and they listed everything, and I had some further tests to get done, but no grapefruit. Well, the last thing that was on this list, okay.
Oh, boy. Here it comes.
Was absolutely, okay, no sex, okay, until I can walk up two flights of stairs. We only have one flight of stairs in the house, Rich. We've got to go up. We got to do something. I'm too young to be celebrating.
Oh, Tim, I was stepping right into it. I didn't know where it was going, but well played.
Can you believe that?
That is very funny. What about an escalator? Does going up a two flights of an escalator, does that count, Tim?
I don't think so. I think there has to be a bit more activity, Rich. At least that's what I seemed to gather when I was checking out in Thunder Bay.
That's too funny. That's too funny. I remember those awkward conversations you have to have with your doctor. I remember when I had back surgery, I went in for my, you know, my checkup a couple weeks later, and I said, you know, and he's talking in a low voice like, you know, when do you think I can have sex again? Excuse me? What did you say? Sounds like sex. Can you have sex anytime soon? You know, it's this embarrassing conversation. It's like,
yeah,
and then
well,
you get,
like,
then you get
you
the doctor's orders.
Well, let's cut to the important stuff. It's not important that I can walk or,
exactly.
or function normally. You know, hey, where does sex fit into this situation? Oh, and Kathy's standing here shaking her head because that's the
shaking
first thing
her head.
I said to her. When we left the hospital, I said, we're going to have to move because we only got one flight of stairs.
That, Timmy, that is so funny. I knew this was going. I stepped in. I thought it was true. And then I'm going, I have stepped into something. I'm not sure what. Well played, Mr. McLeod. I am very pleased.
Thank
with that.
Thank you. That laughter in the background would be Catherine.
Oh, Timmy, I don't even know if we can talk baseball now. I got literally tears in my eyes. I was laughing so much, but that was too funny. Well, let me ask you a question before we get into some of the agenda. So how are your teams doing?
Some are good. Some are so-so. Some just aren't happening, Rich. It's but ugly in some. And today didn't help it. You know, Ryan Braun, it looks like he might be missing time. Avisail Garcia looks like he's got some groin issues. Did I mention that I have Thor in a couple leagues? Is all I can say. What a mess.
That's tough. Well, I do want to talk about that, you know, once we get through some of your teams. I mean, but that Thor thing is just bizarre. So Avisail Garcia, I know, has been playing extremely well, but looks like, is it a hammy or is that what he went out with? A groin, I think it was.
Yeah, apparently it's been bothering him for a couple of days, and now it's going to bother me for a couple more.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I know I have Ryan Braun in one league, and I was checking on the box score of his games, and I did see a pinch hitter going for him. So tell me about that.
That's a trapezoid thing, I think. I'm struggling in most of my leagues right now with injury issues, and hopefully that resolves itself over the next while, and I can get some healthy teams out there. But the NFBC, the big money league, that one's doing well. So I'm rather happy with that one, pending, of course, whether or not we can survive without Thor.
Yeah, so I'm doing quite well in all my dynasty leagues, Tim. I'm doing very, very well. So it's nice to see the rebuilding actually working. My teams have been, you know, relatively healthy. I did have Eric Thames in a couple of those leagues, and I traded him away in one league. And a team that I think I've got a chance in, which I didn't think going into the season, Danny Duffy, my bet on Danny Duffy has worked out fairly well. My bet on Greg Holland has worked out quite well. So I've actually feel pretty good about some of the calls, and even those calls that I didn't make. I mean, Trevor Story's still batting 180, and I think he's going to hit 25 home runs and bat 210. And I, you know, not that I'm happy about that, but that just like validates, that's about right.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think of the hue and cry that happens every time Eric Thames hits a home run on Twitter? What do you think of that mess, Rich?
I don't know what you're talking about. Is it the call for PEDs?
Yeah, testing. You know what I mean? Every time Thames does something, Twitter explodes with more calls for testing and the PEDs. I'm really getting tired of that whole situation. What happened? Why don't we hear that hue and cry every time Mr. Judge hits a home run?
Yeah, and I think it's the world in which we live in, where there's so many guys that have failed the tests, and every time somebody comes in all bulked up, I mean, you initially always think, well, he must be on something. There was a human cry for years about Jose Bautista when he hit 50 home runs. Remember, he came from obscurity to hit 50 home runs, and in fact, it was the great Tony Sincotta's call that I never heard anybody mention Jose Bautista's name, and he called him out that spring training, and he was great for about 4 or 5 years, and now he's, you know, hit the hard times. But the same calls were there. I'm not saying that Eric Thames is or is not on PEDs. I have no ideas. If he were to fail a test on Monday, would I be shocked? Absolutely not. Would Aaron Judge fail a test? Would I be shocked? No. I don't think if anybody fails a test, I'm not surprised. Do I think he's on it? No, I don't. But, you know, maybe it's the child in me that I hope all these guys are playing clean.
Yeah, I love Thames' response when questioned about it after his third test of the regular season. He says, hey, I'm here for the long haul. I got lots of blood and urine for you.
he's just a funny guy and a really, really good person. Now, I just love what he's doing. I think it's great for the game, and I think it's great for the KBO, right? I mean, the guys go out there, and somehow he put it together when he went there and came back, and, the Milwaukee Brewers, for $3 million, man, they got a deal.
Well, yeah, I think there's a few teams out there kicking themselves that they didn't say, well, you know, Willian Rosario was looking for a job, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's still looking for a job, right?
Well, no, he's back in Korea, signed up again, so he's another year in Korea, but I'm betting the interest level is a little bit higher next offseason in Rosario.
Yeah, I agree with you. Timmy, let's talk about Noah Syndergaard. And I'm just saying that they're calling it tube gate. I made that up. I mean, just get ready background. I'm sure everybody's heard this story. Noah Syndergaard, first of all, has had nail problems, blister problems. And then he had after his last outing, I don't know if he left the outing early, but he had a little discomfort in his bicep. And he refused, said he knew his body well and didn't need to go for the MRI. And the Mets were pretty upset they didn't go for the MRI. But you can't force a guy to go get a medical checkup, a diagnostic check. So they skipped his turn on Friday or Saturday. And Matt Harvey found out at 9 o'clock that he was going to be pitching at 1 o'clock. He wasn't happy, went out and pitched very poorly. And then Noah Syndergaard goes out, gets lit up for 5 runs in the first inning, and I think it's to the second batter of the second inning. I think it was Bryce Harper comes up lame and grabs his bicep, Tim, the same bicep that he was hurting before. And talk about Twitter blowing up. Twitter blew up. Terry Collins blew up. General managers, everybody was upset, and rightly so. Why didn't this guy get checked out? Now I've seen things, maybe an oblique. There's other things that maybe it's his elbow. I mean, nobody knows, Timmy. And I think you and all the other owners are sitting on pins and needles, like, how long is this guy going to be out?
Yeah, and I've heard it's a lat issue. So until we get the MRI, which I'm assuming he's going to get at this stage of the game, we don't really know. And it is rather disconcerting. You know, I understand, you know, Syndergaard's reluctance to deal with the Mets medical team, but hey, the Yankees aren't that far away. I'm sure they'd give him a free checkup if he's concerned.
Now, this is not the first time the Mets have had problems with medicals, Timmy. I mean, there have been other people who either have been misdiagnosed or there's been a lot of bad stuff that's gone on with the Mets and their medical staff over the years.
Well, just look at recently, it's Cespedes. Yeah, that's a prime example. Now he's lost for a while.
And it was funny because he was taking batting practice, and they showed this on the television, him grabbing his hamstring, and then a few hours later he's playing in a game, and it's like, what are they doing?
Yeah, it's baffling. It really is. I just hope that Syndergaard isn't seriously injured, and we see him back in the game as soon as possible. You know, when you look at some of the bright young stars in the game, Syndergaard has to be near the top of the pitching list. And I know I had huge hopes this year that he was going to take it another step over what he did last year. And it looks like that's not going to be the case in 2017.
It's not, Tim, because if it is a lat issue, it's 4 to 6 weeks. So, I mean, you're looking at middle of June by the time he's back. And that's a killer when you drafted him in the second round this year. And, you know, so, I mean, I don't know. What do you do?
Well, you're looking at the Ariel Mirandas of the world and praying that they don't have outings like Chad Kuhl did this week. How's that?
Yeah, that's very, very true. But it's a mess in the Mets. And I live in the New York market. I got to tell you, except for 2 years ago when the Mets had the run, it's always a mess with the Mets. I mean, there's always something going on, whether it's Terry Collins not playing Michael Conforto, who, thank God, he's proving him wrong. And he still doesn't have a full-time job. He only has a job because, you know, because Cespedes is hurt and somebody else is hurt. And Curtis Granderson, I guess, because he's a nice guy, batting 120, will get the job, and Michael Conforto will probably get sat down.
Well, yeah, and, you know, they got this kid at AAA, this middle infielder who's sitting down there while Jose Reyes is sucking it up big time on the major league roster.
Yeah, well, Jose Reyes got a couple hits, so he's good. Terry Collins does not like the young guys, and when he talks, I'm talking out of school. I'm sure I'll get people yelling at me. He sounds stupid when he talks to me. It sounds like he doesn't know anything about the modern game at all. I mean, it's just like, what are you talking about, man? I mean, why are you afraid to play these young kids? And I just don't understand.
Well, no. If that's the case, trade him to Washington and Dusty can use him as a coach.
Boy, talk about it. Well, let's move down to Adam Eaton. What a mess there. And I couldn't watch that, Timmy. I mean, if you've ever sprained an ankle severely, you can't watch plays like that. It looked bad, and it reminded me of the Ricky Weeks injury was about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, which he never, ever, he was never the same after that injury. Not to say Adam Eaton won't be the same, but tore his ACL, tore his meniscus, high ankle sprain. I mean, a guy just destroyed his ankle on one play, and it was just a misstep on a base.
Yeah, you know, something that he has probably done hundreds of times in his career and just off by a fraction this time. And, I tend to think for a player who's, you know, all players, their legs are important, but he's a center fielder, speed's his game. And, you know, it's going to be a long, long road to a full recovery. When you look at the knee and the damage there and the ankle, you throw it all in together. I just hope that he can bounce back and become 90% of the player that he was before this injury.
Yeah, same here, Timmy. And because we have a show about fantasy baseball, a moment of silence for Adam Eaton owners. Now, how do we take advantage of Adam Eaton going down? that's the real that's the purpose of the show, correct, Tim?
Yes, it is, Rich.
Which
leads us into a discussion that we're not going to agree on.
Okay, yes, because Tim and I are now jointly writing the waiver wire article, which is out now on Prospect 361. Go to Fantasy and Tim's Stage, and you'll see it right there. And Tim wrote a glowing review of Michael Taylor, and then I wrote at the end in pure snark, that said – he's never been able to put it together to date, which is a true factual statement, Timmy. He has never. He's got a 35% lifetime strikeout rate in the major leagues. This is a guy who has a terrible approach and can't and swing and miss too much. Why do you think it's going to be different this time?
Well, I think, Rich, personally, right now, yours truly or yourself could play in the Washington Nationals lineup. They scored 23 runs today. How many did they score against Colorado? You know, Washington doesn't have the chips to move for somebody else right now. Taylor, by the way, has gone 5-for-11 with 2 RBIs and 3 runs on the weekend, which puts him the lowest producing Nationals player of the week. Everybody's hitting in Washington. He's going to get caught up in that slugfest oriented team, and yeah, he's going to be adequate, but adequate on that team is good enough.
It is for now. I mean, they're red hot, and of course Anthony Rendon, I own him in one league, Tammy, one league. Guess where he was today? On my bench.
But you know, it's hilarious because I was looking on Facebook. And the number of people that were moaning and crying because they benched Rendon today because he was matched up against
terrible. Terrible, Tim. He's been terrible. So,
he's been terrible. And you know, you're doing everything right. Okay, you're going up against the Mets ace, their big gun. You know, hey, sit the guy. He's not going to get any hits. It ain't going to happen. And he got a full month's worth of statistics in today's game.
It is absolutely remarkable. But you're right. I mean, the Nationals are hot, but they're going to cool off. I mean, it happens to all teams. And I think Michael Taylor's going to struggle unless you've seen something with his swing or seen something with his approach that's different. I think he's going to struggle. Now, he's a very good defensive player, so maybe that's all they need. They put him at the bottom of the lineup and call it a day. I don't know, Timmy, but I'm a little skeptical. You're on the opposite side.
Well, yeah, I think he's going to produce in spite of himself, and his defense will keep him in the game. I don't think the Nats have the chips to move for an out, you know, to make a move for an outfielder. They moved all their chips, and Eric Fetty.
No, Tim. They've got 3 big chips. Eric Fetty, you mentioned. Sorry to cut you off. They got Victor Robles, one of the best prospects in the game, and they have Juan Soto, who is a mini Victor Robles. And some people think he's better than Victor Robles. I mean, I have yet to see him. He's in Hagerstown. Soon as I get down to Maryland again, I want to go see the cat. But this is a very, very good player. And I think they got plenty to bring in my opinion, either Leonis Martin, which, you know, a bag of balls will get you Leonis Martin. I think Lorenzo Cain. I mean, the Kansas City Royals are terrible, Tim. I mean, absolutely terrible. Yeah. That would be a nice chip to come over. He hasn't played well, but a quality center fielder, a good clubhouse guy, and a guy that probably in that lineup will play better than Michael Taylor. I think there's opportunity there.
I guess I shouldn't have said they don't have the chips. I don't think they'll move those chips. How's that?
Well, their history is, Timmy, and what the Lerner family has always said is the budget is the budget. We will not expand the budget when we get into the year. So that's why if you look historically, they've never made a lot of deadline moves that cause an increase in their salary for the year. And I think Lorenzo Cain, now Leonis Martin doesn't cost anything, but Lorenzo Cain does cost, I don't know how much, I could look that up, but I'm sure he costs some money.
Well, yeah, the problem with Martin is he actually cleared waivers, and he's at Tacoma right now. The problem with Martin fitting in Washington is $4.85 million that they're paying him. So that's why he cleared waivers, and he's still in the Mariner organization, probably soon to be promoted, would be my guess.
Yeah, because they've run out of arms. I mean, poor Mitch Haniger kind of goes down, and Tyler O'Neill's not really playing all that well, and they lost another outfielder. But I do think my humble opinion is that the Nats, this is their window, Tim. Bryce Harper's there this year and next year. They got Steven Strasburg for the full term, but Anthony Rendon's going to be coming up the free agency. They got a lot of guys coming up free agency. Zimmerman looks like he did 6 or 7 years ago. He looks even better than that. I think the window is this year and next year, and if I were them, I would be bringing in a center fielder, and I'd be bringing in a closer. As much as I like Kota Glover, how about Lorenzo Cain and Kevin Herrera? How about that? And send over Juan Soto and Eric Fetty and call it a day.
I could live with that. That would definitely work. If Washington's all in, they should be for those two players. They should be able to get and fill those holes, and they would fill some rather serious holes, because right now training's not getting it done. Glover's on the DL, and Sean Kelly is the last vestige of hope at the back end of the Nats pen.
Yeah, I think Kota Glover is going to be back pretty soon, and I still think he's the guy that they want, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go to Kansas City. Glover's in that deal as well, because then that'll give them an instant closer as well, closer in waiting. But I think the Nationals have got to make a move. I mean, they cannot – that's a good team, and we've seen them, like, destroy teams. I mean, not just, like, win 2-1. They as you said in the beginning, they beat the snot out of Colorado. I mean, it was a double-digit win every outing this past week.
Yeah, there was some real ugliness in Colorado. I was just ecstatic that Senzatella only got nicked for 4 earned runs. I was dancing a jig, Rich.
I know. I hear you. So, Timmy, let's get back up and talk about some of these promotions that have occurred. And your boy, I know you have him in Tout Wars. Cody Bellinger has been on our waiver wire list since week one as the guy in a farm system that you want to own, because he's going to get called at some point. I kept saying in May, you got to call a little bit early. And, Tim, 2 home runs yesterday, batting 300 or just below. Again, very, very small sample size. Everybody loves the swing. He looks comfortable in the outfield. But yet, Roberts is saying now he's going back down soon as Jock Peterson's off the disabled list, which I think is going to be this week.
Yeah, they're talking towards the end of the week. How are they going to send this guy down, Rich, if he continues to hit the way we've seen him hit? Let's face it, Tolles is on a hot streak right now, but I don't think he's the answer. And I'm just going to throw this one out at you. You know, Adrian Gonzalez has been dealing with a forearm issue since spring training, and I think it's showing up in the way he plays. Do you think there's a possibility towards the end of the week that the Dodgers, if assuming, you know, Bellinger continues to hit, if the Dodgers say, okay, Adrian, time to take a break, give that forearm some rest, we're going to throw you on the 10-day DL, and Cody Bellinger slips over to first base for another week and a half?
I think that's totally plausible. I think it's also plausible that Yasiel Puig, they cut ties with him as well. I mean, at some point, Yasiel Puig, last I saw, was batting 230 or something like that. Yeah, he hit 5 home runs, but it was all against San Diego and their terrible pitching staff. And, I know Alan Servinus loves him, and Alan Servinus is a smart baseball mind, but it's just not happening. And I think at some point they've got to say, look, Cody Bellinger, we don't need another left-hand bat. I get it, Tim. But at some point, Cody Bellinger is better than everybody else that's sitting at those positions. He's better than Adrian Gonzalez. I know that's blasphemy, Timmy, but let's face it. I mean, Adrian Gonzalez is not on the right side of 30 anymore.
Well, no, I think one bit of advice I would give Bellinger owners and people looking at bidding on him this week, even if he is sent down back to the minors on Friday, it ain't going to be for very long. So I wouldn't be at all concerned about bidding on Bellinger. And if he does get sent back down, whatever you do, hold on to him. Don't cut bait on Cody Bellinger in any format. Should, in fact, the Dodgers do send him down, he'll be back up right smartly.
Yeah. So, Timmy, what percentage of your FAB budget would you throw on Cody Bellinger?
I would have thrown a buck when we first advised people to buy them, Rich, and then it wouldn't be an issue, right?
But what do you do now? I mean, let's say you're in a shallow league and he's sitting out there on the waiver wire. What do you do?
25-30%. I think he's got the potential to be an offensive force over the balance of the year. He's going to give you power and he's going to give you some speed. And how many players this year are going to get promoted that have the potential to create as much of an impact as Cody Bellinger? Spend the money.
Yeah, there's a couple of other guys that are out there, but I think Cody Bellinger from day one, in my opinion, has been at the top of that list in terms of guys that could get called up and make an impact. Now, there's always the guy that gets called up that we haven't talked about or plays better than we ever thought he was going to do. So there's always that chance. But on paper, Timmy, he is the guy that's going to make the biggest impact of the guys in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I totally believe that. And so far in a small sample size, I don't think he's disappointed.
No, I agree. And no offense to people who own Yoan Moncada, like screaming at their iPhones right now. What about Yoan Moncada? Love Yoan Moncada, but the guy still doesn't control the strike zone very well, and he's going to get exposed when he comes to the major leagues. Now, in 5 years, is Yoan Moncada a better fantasy player than Cody Bellinger? Yeah, probably, but not now, Tim.
No, I don't think for this year either. Not that I'm suggesting at the same time that you cut bait on Moncada in a redraft league. We're gonna see him at some point in time towards the end of May, June. And, I think there could be questionable, the hit tool, batting average, that could be a problem. But he's going to steal bases. He's going to run, and he's going to provide value.
I will get a chance to see him next Saturday and Sunday, Mr. McLeod. So
nice.
I will give you an update on young Yoan Moncada, and hopefully I'll be able to see Lucas Giolito and give you an update on that. So I got a 2 out of 5 chance of seeing him. I don't know who's pitching on Saturday and Sunday, but that's my goal at least next weekend.
Taking some notes and providing us with some early assessments. I like it a lot, Rich. Nice.
Julio Urias, Timmy, got the call as well, probably the next big name in the Dodgers organization. And they were smart. Instead of they think they're going to make the postseason, so they pretty much kept him down in the minor leagues for the month of April, got him that last week of April. Did okay, 1 run in 5 2/3 innings. He's 83% owned in leagues, so anybody listening to this podcast, he's already probably owned. But do you like him here, Timmy? Is this a guy that you're going to run out every time?
Yeah, you got to. You got 83% level of investment, and you're going to sit him? Why would you do such a silly thing? No, you're going to run him out there. I think right now he's a solid number three. I think we're going to see decent results out of young Mr. Julio. And like I said, get him out there every single start you can, because you never know. At some point in time towards the middle of September, or not September, middle of August, as the innings creep up, he could find himself skipping starts again, so he is ready for the playoffs. So I think you have to take advantage of every start you get with Urias.
I agree with you, Timmy. Let's go to San Francisco. And I heard a stat. I was watching the MLB Network and the post-afternoon stuff. And they said, now get this, Timmy. They said since the All-Star game last year, the San Francisco Giants have the second worst record in Major League Baseball.
Wow, I never would have guessed that, but they did collapse pretty good in the second half, especially that bullpen.
They did indeed, and the bullpen imploded again. I mean, they got Mark Melancon, and he coughed it up today. But Christian Arroyo, excuse me, Tim, I can't talk here. I've never been a big fan of his, but he's gotten the call. He can hit. There's not a lot of fantasy-friendly tools there, but is this a guy that you're running after to get?
Yeah, I think he's definitely worth looking at. Who's at third base for the Giants? I'm going to go with virtually nobody, or at least nobody of consequence. Yeah, I think he can do the job, and I think he can provide you with a bit of power and a decent batting average. So, especially in deeper leagues, I like Arroyo, and let's face it, after today's loss to the Padres, they're a game and a half, two games below San Francisco. I mean, sorry, above San Francisco, who is anchoring up last spot. I think the Giants will wheel out anybody they possibly can. You know, Beattie's next in line sometime in May, June.
Yeah, at some point, I mean, I don't know what they do. I mean, do they rebuild? I mean, they don't have a lot of chips to give away. I mean, maybe Brandon Crawford. I mean, he signed for 4 or 5 years. I mean, Brandon Belt signed for 4 or 5 years. They're on somewhat team-friendly deals. Madison Bumgarner's on a really team-friendly deal. I mean, would they ever trade one of those guys, particularly Madison Bumgarner, when he comes back and just, like, start over again? Because this isn't getting better.
I don't think they can, but, you know, putting a sign up in the clubhouse that dirt bike riding is frowned upon is probably a wise idea.
Yeah, I would say that. Timmy, let's talk about GIF Gopi. GIF Gopi is the first, and this is a great story, the first South African player to play in Major League Baseball. I've seen him a bunch of times when he was AAA and AA, and he's always been, I've always known the story, Tim, a black man coming out of South Africa and making a Major League Baseball. That's a big deal, right, given all the issues they've had down there in their history. So it's a proud moment, I think, for him and for South Africans. But I've always thought of him as kind of an extra player. I mean, he's 27 years old. He's come up and immediately hit with some of the injuries that the Pirates have had. He's getting an opportunity to play. But what are your thoughts on Gift?
Well, he's not the gift that's going to keep on giving. How's that, Rich?
I agree. It does beg the question, do the Pirates hate Alan Hansen that much? I mean, shouldn't he have been given the opportunity to play at second base? But they didn't. They went with Gopi.
They're saving him for the playoffs, Rich.
It is remarkable. I mean, they do not like this guy, but they like him enough that they're not going to waive him. I mean, because he's out of options, but he's played all over the field. I was checking his he's played third base, shortstop, second base in the outfield this year, but I think he's got like 15 at-bats, and there's always been rumors of kind of an uncooperative player, a guy who doesn't play all that hard. Maybe they've just soured on him.
Well, yeah, at some point in time, I would hope for Mr. Hansen that they either decide to give him playing time or move him, one or the other, and get it over with, make a decision. You know, the Pirates are a mess this year. David Freese is now on the DL. Marte is out. There's going to be a sell-off happening, I think, when you start looking at guys like Watson. You know, you mentioned McCutcheon, I think, last week or the week before, but it's only a matter of time because they're in trouble.
I agree, and it's a shame, and Tyler Glasnow has not performed. I think, and I always was worried about him when he first came up. I think long term he's going to be good, but he has not performed at all, and that's been ugly. But Gopi in front of Hansen, that's a head scratcher to me. And again, I get it. I think he's batting 500 right now, but let's see where he's batting next Sunday. And I'm totally with you, Tim. Give Alan Hansen a try or get rid of him.
Well, yeah, something's got to give there. And, you know, it's a shame because I think there was a good solid window for the Pirates to be able to do more than just make the playoffs. But they held on to all of these kids. You know, 2 years ago when the Jays picked up David Price for the stretch run, they could have given Hansen and one of their pitching prospects, Kingham or whatever, a couple of their top prospects and probably at least been in the running for David Price. They chose not to, and look at where they're at right now. That window is closed, Rich. It's gone.
Let's move over to Seattle, who are a mess as well, Timmy. And their best player, let's face it, their best player has been Mitch Haniger. And as much as I got made fun of by some people on that awful Facebook page, he hits the DL with an oblique, so he's out 4 to 6 weeks. So now the old Yankee farmhand, Ben Gamel, gets his shot, Timmy. Can he do anything for fantasy owners?
Well, I think he's going to do something. I don't think he's going to save the day in Seattle. You know, you look at their outfield. It's what? Gamel, Taylor Motter, Jared Dyson, and Guillermo Heredia. Isn't that a pathetic outfield?
Awful. And Tyler Motter's been playing a little bit of first base. They did bring up my buddy Danny Vogelbach, who's done absolutely nothing. So that's a team that all of a sudden they're in a mess. And they made how many trades in the offseason, Tim? I mean, it was almost triple digits. It was crazy.
Well, yeah, the infield's solid, other than first base. You know, Segura's fine, Robbie Cano, Seager at third base. But, I mean, there's just simply not enough there in Seattle. And they're, what, four games under 500 in a tough division. It ain't going to get any better for them.
And they lost Felix Hernandez, who is not the old Felix Hernandez, but he actually has pitched pretty well this year. James Paxton looks like the real deal and has played extremely well, but that looks like a bad team.
Well, yeah, Iwakuma is not getting any younger either.
Yeah. What about Tyler O'Neill, Timmy? I say he's batting .203, got 21-7 strikeout, the walk ratio, in only 19 games. This is Triple A where he should be playing extremely well. It's a lot of hitters park, though. Tacoma's not a hitters park. But, I mean, he doesn't look like he's quite ready. Would you put a buck down on Tyler O'Neill, given the lack of outfielders?
I wouldn't at this point in time, because I don't think Seattle is going to be bringing him up anytime soon. I think as we get into, you know, let's see what happens in the next 2 to 3 weeks. He's not ready yet, and the numbers reflected at AAA. So I'd put a hold on that one for probably, you know, the next 2-3 weeks, monitor the situation, see how he's doing, and go forward from there.
Let's give you three happy stories, Timmy. We've talked about a lot of kids. We've talked about what's happening in a lot of these teams that are doing very poorly. But three happy scenarios. Bud Norris. Timmy, I think you got to be happy for Bud Norris. This is a guy, I don't know if he got to save the day. I think he might have, but he was 4-for-4. Cam Bedrosian is down. Houston Street is down. Andrew Bailey is down. And Bud Norris kind of comes out of mothballs and is pitching well in the bullpen. All of a sudden, is effective as a closer. I'm sure he's going to be one of the big guys on the waiver wire this evening, as a lot of teams go on Sunday evening. You got to feel good about Bud Norris.
Actually, Rich, no, I don't. Okay, I'm bitter because I've owned him so many times in so many leagues, only to have all of my dreams shattered. I'm having a hard time getting excited about this one. Hey, good for you, Bud. I'm happy you found a role. It seems to be working for you, but all I can think of is 8 earned runs, 6 earned runs, 9 earned runs. And he's probably taken 3 years off my life over the past 7-8 years, Rich.
I'm right there with you, Timmy. I've owned him in a ton of leagues, and I've always loved the arm, man, but he's never been able to control the strike zone. I mean, he walks too many guys and then gives up a bunch of meatballs, and it's 8 runs. And then he'll come out, you'll bench him, and then he'll have 2 good games. You'll put him back in, it's 9 earned runs. And that's been Bud Norris. He's up to 97 miles an hour in short stint. He's developed a splitter, which is hard to hit. He's still going to walk too many guys, Tim. He's still going to give up home runs, but I think it's going to work. I think it'll work as a closer.
I think it will too. My problem is memories, and I've got to shed those. But no, I think in short stints, yeah, the potential is there for success. And let's face it, Houston Street isn't going to be back until June. He's on the 60-day. Bedrosian's hurt, and who knows what's going to happen when he returns. I could see Socia just going with Norris indefinitely. So, yeah, he's definitely a solid buy for this week.
Mark Reynolds, Tim, is not the same player. He wasn't the same player in the second half last year. And with Ian Desmond coming back in Colorado, they've moved Ian Desmond either to the outfield. Price seemed a little bit at shortstop. But Mark Reynolds is a guy who has cut down his strikeouts. The swing has gotten shorter. He's still got massive raw power. I'm really impressed with what Mark Reynolds has done in the first month of the year. 22% strikeout rate. Timmy, he's not had a two handle. I looked at his stats since rookie ball. He hasn't had a two handle in the strikeout rate since rookie ball.
Yeah, it's been a nice start. Can we revisit this one in about a month, Rich?
Okay. Oh, so you're not a believer, Timmy. Interesting. I think I am. I think this is a guy that might hit 260, 270, and I think the power is going to be there.
Yeah, I think the power will be there. But if you look at what he's done this past week, what do we got? 7 strikeouts, 3 walks, 1 home run, 3 RBIs. I think Mark Reynolds is going to revert to being the Mark Reynolds we know and love. And, hey, if you got him and you've taken advantage of his hot start, congratulations. But I'm just not convinced it's going to be sustainable.
Well, would you like to put a little wager on this, Timmy? I know you can't eat hot dogs anymore, but we'll still call it a steak and liquor bet. But would you like to do a steak and liquor bet?
Well, I'm always in for steak and liquor bets, and I can still eat hot dogs. I just can't eat them with anything spicy, Rich.
Okay, and they have to be made of chicken and not beef. Okay,
I tried turkey bacon yesterday. Okay, it ain't
not
happening, Rich. Okay,
no, it's not the same. Wait till you get that like imitation bacon. That's really rough, man.
You know what? I don't want to live long enough to have to eat that stuff. Okay.
I know. Okay. So what is your, so what do you think the old Mark Reynolds is? You want to do home runs? Do you want to do batting average? What would you like to do at bats? How would you like to handle this?
How about something a little different? He's no longer a part of the regular day-to-day lineup by the beginning of June.
Oh, done, Tim.
Okay.
I can taste that hot dog, Timmy. I can still eat real hot dogs, so I can taste it. It's gonna go slide down very nicely.
Yeah, you know, I'll pay for that one just as a spectator. Okay.
Okay, Timmy. I know
funny,
we're at the...
when you can't eat certain things, you actually enjoy watching other people eat them. I'm starting to go to restaurants occasionally just to watch other people eat. Rich, okay.
Can you still eat the Chinese food?
Yeah, probably not according to my diet, but it's happening occasionally, believe it or not.
Well, there you go. So, well, Timmy, do you have time for 10 more minutes? I know we're at the 45 minute mark, but, we talked about sex in the beginning and I don't count that against our show.
Okay. No, sounds good. I'm feeling good, Rich. We got another 10, 15. Fire away.
All right. Let's stop for a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about some hot players. Timmy, I just want to know from your perspective, are these guys real or Memorex? And the first guy is Chris Owings, taken in the 20th round. He's now the 30th ranked fantasy player, just in front of number 31, Michael Trout. He's batting .325, 4 home runs, 6 stolen bases. His strikeout rate is 21%. He's still very aggressive with a 5% walk rate. He does have a crazy high BABIP of .379. Real or Memorex?
Real to some extent. If you're counting on 25 to 30 stolen bases, yeah, I think he's your guy. If you're looking at the home runs and trying to sort through and say, yeah, he's on pace for 20, no, that ain't happening. I think what you have here is a clone of Leonis Martin. How's that?
Wow. And that's actually a good call. I think the batting average is going to be put on a lot of pressure just because with a high strikeout rate and the low walk rate. I do think there's stolen mm-hmm. bases. And, you know, it's an 8 to 10 home run guy. I'm right with you, Tim. I think that's a good call. Leonis Martin. Wish I would have taken Chris Owings and Leonis Martin on my NFBC team.
Yeah, you probably needed the outfielder, though. You were probably hooped.
Yeah, that squad's not going well, Timmy. It just I was in first place, and it's like a lead balloon dropping. It's not been going well. Travis Shaw with Milwaukee, Timmy. This is a guy who played for Boston, winning that trade there, and 90 at-bats, 5 home runs, 2 stolen bases, .274 batting average. Get this, a .286 batting average of balls in play, 18.9% strikeout rate, 5.6% walk rate. Travis Shaw, Timmy.
Eric Thames can only carry him for so long, Rich. Past 9 days, 7 games, 2 RBIs, 8 strikeouts, no walks. Reality is about to set in to all the Travis Shaw owners.
Okay, so that is a Memorex there. I think it's I'm probably with you. I think he's probably an okay player, maybe in a really deep league, a guy that you want to that you want to roster, but he's not a top 15 third baseman. So I'm right there with you, Timmy. Jason Hayward, I'm watching the game now. Tim got another base hit. Is that new swing working? 81 at bats, 13.6% strikeout rate, a 7.4% walk rate, 3 home runs, a stolen base. He is still beating the ball into the ground at a 52% ground ball rate, which you don't like to see, Timmy. I heard an interview this week with Chris Bryant's father. I was watching the game yesterday, and Chris Bryant's father played with Ted Williams, which was pretty crazy. Apparently, he was pretty much a career minor leaguer, and Ted Williams was doing a rehab assignment or something, or a spring training. He had this long conversation with Chris Bryant's father saying, "No good comes when you hit the ball on the ground. Hit the ball in the air." And he said, "That's what I told my son." He kind of went on to translate what he told his son. I thought that was fascinating kind of advice. But Jason Hayward is clearly beating the ball on the ground.
Well, yeah. And, he had a nice little run, but the past four games, he's 3-for-14 with no counting stats. I think we're seeing a better Hayward than we saw last year, but that brings him up to maybe adequate, barely adequate.
We're totally in line with this. We didn't even talk ahead of time, but I totally agree with you. I think this is not a fifth round Jason Hayward. This is more like a 15th round Jason Hayward that we're seeing. And I think that's the kind of player he is. Maybe a number four outfielder as opposed to a reserve guy.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's moved to the point where you can roster him, but I just don't see the Hayward that we envisioned 4 or 5 years ago. Not at all.
Yeah, 4 years ago when I did a Dynasty League draft, Timmy, I think I had the 12th draft pick. Picked them number one. Bad pick.
Well, yeah, but at the time it was a heck of a good pick. People were probably applauding that pick.
They were. I'm sure people were upset that I drafted him ahead of them, but I was the one that got burned, and it's not been good. Aaron Alfier, outfielder with Philadelphia, 41 plate appearances, .351 batting average, 24% strikeout rate, 7.3% walk rate, a .440 BABIP. You don't see that very often, Timmy, unless you're going to see regression. Aaron Alfier.
Well, we've already seen it, Rich. This week he's 1-for-11. Okay. 1-for-11.
Okay.
Aaron, yeah. You are still Aaron Alfier or Alfier or however you want to call him. I gotta stick with the story that I've been telling all of our listeners since spring training. At some point in time, the mighty Quinn ascends to the roster, and I think another week, maybe 2 weeks of putting up with Alfier's numbers, and we see Quinn up. I'm gonna hold my stance on Roman Quinn. And just as a reference, in his past three games, he's 4-for-11 with 3 runs and a stolen base. So I think Quinn's starting to heat up down on the farm.
Oh, he was already heating up from day one. I mean, I'm a huge Roman Quinn fan, and if I mispronounce Althea's name, I apologize. I thought that's how you said it. But totally agree with you, Timmy. And I think Odubel Herrera moves to left, and Roman Quinn goes to center, and I think Philadelphia will be a better team from that. Let's move over to some pitchers, Timmy. Irving Santana, 35 innings pitch, 4 wins, 26 strikeouts to 10 walks, a sub-1 ERA and a sub-1 whip, 3.09 fielding independent percentage, Timmy. This is a guy that's been extremely good. Everybody's been talking about Jose Quintana being moved. Irving Santana seems like the guy that's going to be moved because he's cheaper. He might be better at the moment.
Yeah, he's off to a great start. Santana, over the course of his career has had some highs, he's had some lows, and some in-betweens. And I think he's a solid number 3-4 pitcher. And, he's not going to maintain the great peripherals we've seen thus far. But he's going to settle in to be a really solid pitcher and somebody that I would have no problem at all rostering for the balance of the season.
Yeah, and you could have got him late in drafts this year. It's a shame I didn't grab him anywhere, Timmy, and I should have. Needed somebody like that. Gio Gonzalez. I mean, I've rostered him in the last couple of years and late in drafts, and he's always burned me. I said, not doing it this year. Well, shame on me. he's with the Washington Nationals. Somewhere I put the White Sox down. 33 1/3 innings pitch, 2 wins, 26-11 strikeout to walk ratio, a 1.62 ERA, a 1.14 WHIP, and a 3.66 FIP. Tim, he's playing very, very well. Real or Memorex?
Memorex, Rich. At some point in time, you will be happy you made your decision. People will stop swinging at those pitches in the dirt. He'll start walking people, and Gio will revert to what we've seen over the past couple of years, a filler.
Two more names here, Timmy. I'm going to take the last name and then come back to the second to the last name. Dylan Bundy, 32 2/3 innings pitch, 3 wins, 23 strikeouts, 6 walks. That's pretty impressive. 1.65 ERA, 0.88 WHIP, a 2.9 FIP. That's very impressive. The thing that's remarkable, I checked his velocity, Timmy. It's down from 95 miles an hour last year to 92.4, but the secondary stuff, I've watched a number of his starts, is just flat out nasty. I mean, he's added that cutter / slider, and people cannot hit that pitch. And he's playing with diminished velocity. I don't know if it's because his arm hurts, he got worn out last year, or he's just decided not to throw as hard. He's been very, very good, though. Real or Memorex?
Real until the velocity gets below 90 on the fastball, Rich.
You don't think it's going to go there, do you?
Well, you know, how much work has Dylan Bundy got in the past 3 years, two, 3 years? I think at some point in time he's going to wear down. If I own Bundy right now, I would be holding on to him for about the next month. And then I would be selling high and as high could be. Not so much per se in dynasty leagues, but in redraft leagues, I'd give him about another month or so. And then I just don't have a real good feeling for the second half. I'd be selling high.
I think that's really, really good advice. The last guy, Tim, is a painful point for me. I struggled with Dallas Keuchel last year in one league, and I gave up on a Timmy. And usually when I give up on a player, I also gave up on that same league on Corbin, and he's been great this week. I actually dumped him at the beginning last Sunday, and, of course, he had two really good outings. But Dallas Keuchel, Tim, 5-0 now with today's outing, another 9 strikeouts. He's got a 1.21 ERA. Timmy, he looks like he's back to – The odds-on Cy Young winner this year.
Well, yeah, like, you know, we've mentioned numerous times with his velocity, you know, he's got to be bang on. There's not much margin for error. And so far this year, he's hitting the corners. He's doing everything that we saw him do 2 years ago. It's a very fine line with a pitcher like Keuchel between success and failure. And I hope that he continues to pitch the way that he has, because, you know, hey, the Astros need him. I'm an Astros fan. I'd like to see them do well. I'd like to see Keuchel do well, but it's a very, very fine line. And I'm not totally convinced he can stay on the good side of that line for the whole season, Rich.
Totally agree with the 373 fielding independent percentage. I think there's going to be some regression there. And I'm with you that the reason that the Astros are starting to run away with the AL West, I haven't looked recently, is the difference from last year is Dallas Keuchel. He was terrible last year. Tim, I can attest to you, he was terrible last year. He's been exceptional this year, and that's the reason the Astros are where they are right now.
Well, yeah, if you take a look at, you know, they're getting balanced production, but Correa hasn't done much thus far. Bregman, I don't think, he hasn't hit his first home run. Gurriel's starting to heat up. Altuve has looked okay, but not the stellar Altuve. It's the pitching that's carrying them, and that bodes well because we know at some point in time all those bats are going to come alive. And when they come alive, I'm looking forward to not owning the pitcher when they play against the Nats.
Look, Altuve, I'm going to defend Altuve just because, you know, he and Brandon Belt are my two children. Batting .326,
right.
7 stolen bases, and 2 home runs to me. I mean, come on, give the little man a break.
Okay, yeah, I had him pegged for 3 home runs, so I'm immensely disappointed
this far. All right. Timmy, we're next Sunday's not going to happen because I'm on vacation next Sunday, and I'm having dinner with my son and his lovely girlfriend, and we will be down in Charlotte, and they're coming down with us, and then we're all going to we're looking for beach homes, Timmy. So we're going to spend the next period of time, probably a couple of years, looking for beach homes. So we're just renting in a bunch of different houses along the Carolina coast. So they're going to join us for that. So the dinner starts at 7, and I won't make it for the show. So I'm hoping Thursday night works for you.
You know, give me a second, and I'll check my work schedule. Right? It's clear.
Okay. Well, if that works, that would be great. Time, same bat channel. But I thought we've been positive. We've been going very positive the last couple of weeks. We're going negative next week, and we're going to talk about guys who have really stunk. And there are a lot of them, Timmy. There are a lot of guys that have been brutal. And I'm just going to give everybody a teaser on what we're going to be talking about. Roberto Osuna, Tim, drafted as a top 10 closer, number 7, got his third save today. Was not a clean save. He had struggled with that, but he's got 3 blown saves and he's sporting a 6.43 ERA. Are you worried or is he a buy low?
He's a buy low. I'm not concerned at all about Osuna. And when I look at the Blue Jays bullpen, the rest of them, I'm concerned even less.
Okay. Well, that's what we're going to talk about, Timmy. It's buy low or are we worried? Because there's a bunch that I know we're going to be worried about, like a Jose Bautista. I'm very, very worried about that. Tim, there's so many guys that have gotten off to brutal starts, particularly in that the first couple of rounds that – I mean, thank God for guys like Mitch Haniger and others who have really, like, carried fantasy teams. But some of these big boppers have got to start doing some stuff.
Well, yeah, do me a favor and make sure that Jonathan Lucroy is on that list. I need
brutal,
to vent.
I'm not sure what. I don't get to talk because we'll spend all night talking about it. But it's been tough with some of these guys, and it's like – like Texas, what happened to the Texas Rangers? I mean, they all fell off at the same time. It's terrible. I mean, it's just been really bad. And even guys like Chris Bryant they haven't returned first round value yet. And it's just looking, Ben Zobrist is on the TV right now up at bat against Eduardo Rodriguez. He's been terrible. It's just a lot of really guys have gotten out of gates very slow.
Well, yeah, you know, it's the end of April. And did you catch Yu Darvish's last start by any chance, Rich?
I saw the box score. I saw a little bit. He played well.
Yeah, he did. Do you realize he threw 127 pitches?
I saw it at 122 pitches. Yes, I did. I thought that was insane after coming back from Tommy John surgery last year. Dumb.
But, you know, I've got my fingers crossed, and I'm saying a prayer every night that he takes the hill for his next start. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't.
If Yu Darvish goes down to me, put a fork in my season because I have him in a lot of different leagues and I'm counting on him being Yu Darvish. I'm counting on an ace and that's somewhat we've had so far. But man, 127 pitches, that's just that you don't want to see that in April. You just don't want to see it.
No, I know I sure don't. And I own Darvish in just about every league that you don't. So, you know, I've paired him up with Thor in a couple, and the last thing I would need is to see arm problems developing in Mr. Darvish. It'd be a long year. I might even have to draft a fantasy football team, and I don't want to go there, Rich.
Yeah, just look at Jackie. I'm just looking at the ninth boxer, Jackie Bradley Jr. 225, I think, one home run. You know, on the Cubs side, Contreras 250. I'm not sure how many home runs he has, but it was a top 4 catcher right behind Lucroy in a lot of drafts, Tim.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He was, you look at your top 3 catchers, that went off the board and they were all in the same area. One of them hasn't even got started yet. Gary Sanchez.
That's correct. Well, I mean, you know, you can't blame a guy for getting hurt, but he was off to a brutal, he was off to a terrible start. It was just the first week and a half, but he was off to a tough start.
Well, yeah, but he's still going to hit 40 home runs. It's just going to be in one big bunch, Rich.
He might do that. Timmy, so it's been a blast. I'm sorry to keep you over time, but thanks for doing a 45 minutes, and we will talk to you on Thursday. 8 o'clock work for you?
That works absolutely fine, and it was my pleasure. I'm starting to feel a bit stronger. I'm still pushing it a bit too much when I probably shouldn't, but I just want to thank all of our listeners for all of the kind words and the greetings. And it was a good week this week because in addition to the heart problems, When I was in Thunder Bay, they found something on one of my lungs, and I went for a follow-up CAT scan this week and blood work, and the CAT scan came back absolutely clean. There's nothing wrong with my lungs, and the blood work was perfect. So I want to thank everybody for all your kind thoughts, and thank the good Lord for looking down on me and telling me maybe it's time I quit smoking, Rich. Thanks.
Yeah, well, that's good Lord and Rich Wilson have been telling you that for a while to me. That would make me happy, Kathy happy, everybody else happy. So, Tim, that's really great news. I'm so happy to hear that. And I'm happy to hear that you're feeling better. Just don't overdo it.
Well, no, I'm got to be the biggest exponent of preaching patience, but I never listen to myself for some strange reason. And I definitely have to exercise a bit more patience in my lifestyle, Rich, and I'm working on it one day at a time.
Yeah, there you go, Timmy. All right, my friend, we'll see you next Thursday. Be well.
Be well.
All right, guys, when we get back, we're going to do a quick update on our waiver wire, give you some of the names there. It's out on the site. Feel free to go take a look at it. Boy, if Tim would have given us bad news about his lung, I think I would have lost it. Man, I'm glad all is going well with him and that he's continuing to get stronger. And pretty soon we'll be back to do an hour and a half shows. But for now, it's just an hour and 15 minutes. And that's kind of what we are doing. Every week, one of the things that we like to do is share with us our waiver wire pickups. Tim and I are both doing it. We've talked about a number of those names, but I just want to go over some that we didn't talk about. Obviously, Cody Bellinger and Bud Norris, both of us think those are guys that you should be picked up on, particularly Bud Norris. I really, you know, again, he's going to have some lousy games, but he might get the job even when Cam Bedrosian comes back. So if he's on your waiver wire, I think it's definitely a pickup. Somebody asked me Bud Norris or Fernando Rodney. I'm like, is that a question? It's like, I mean, Bud Norris all the way, because I think in Arizona, I've been saying this now for a few weeks, it's going to be Archie Bradley. Yeah, I heard the same thing you did. They want to put Archie Bradley back in the starting rotation. I don't think that's going to happen. He looks dominant, and I saw his inning today. I mean, he's got that look on the mound that he never had as a starter. Like, here's my 97 gas, hit it. And he's got really good stuff, and the stuff just plays up in short stints. I definitely like what I'm seeing as him as a potentially a lockdown closer, and I think it's just a matter of time before we see that switch. Devin Mesoraco is back. He's only owned 32% of leagues. I think that's probably where he should be owned. I think he's not going to get the job full, going to bring him back very, very slowly. You know there's going to be rust on that swing. I think he's more of an opportunity next year as opposed to this year. But he's on the waiver wire because he's coming back. Two catcher leagues, for sure, pull him in. But on a one catcher league, no, just I would avoid him at the moment. But keep an eye on him because I think it's going to take him. He hasn't really played in 2 years. So I think this is somebody that you need to just wait and see what's going on there. Hernan Perez, I don't know if he's got an opportunity to play, but every time he plays, he does well. There's a little bit of speed. There's some pop there. Handles the bat very well. But with Travis Shaw still playing well, and Tim, as you heard, said that he's starting to show a little bit of wobble there. Hernan Perez is somebody that should be on your radar. He also can play a little shortstop. I would be surprised if they moved Orlando Arcia down just because I know he's quality defensive player. He's showing flashes that he's going to be an offensive force. Force might be too strong of a word, but an offensive contributor. He's still very, very young, and I think they want to give him all the opportunities in the world. So I think the leash is rather long there. Lurie Garcia, only 1% owned in the White Sox, and you know, he's been playing quite well. Nobody's talking about him. I think it's a guy that you need to go pick up. He'll still hit you a couple bags, hit you a couple home runs, controls the strike zone fairly well. And Charlie Tilson, I know Tim had him high preseason, but, I mean, he's not coming back anytime soon. And Lurie Garcia might have that for the rest of the season. White Sox are playing extremely well. Don't think that's going to last the entire season, but it's a guy that I'd be plucking down a little bit of fab money this weekend on. Miguel Gonzalez is hot with the White Sox. I just simply write, he's hot, go pick him up, because he's going to turn into Miguel Gonzalez, and we know that it's not going to end well, but too many times we saw this with the Orioles. Kyle Freeland is playing with Colorado and is one of their better pitchers at the moment, a guy who will keep the ball down in the zone, so you know, he's not going to give up a ton of home runs, so he's a pretty friendly pitcher for Coors Field. I would probably still avoid him in Coors Field, because he's got some other ballparks that are really good, Giants and Los Angeles. But for the moment, I would definitely try to run out and grab him, but stream him when he's away from Coors. So I do think he will play okay there. Jesse Hahn, Oakland, is only owned in 19% of leagues. Pitched okay today against Houston. Pitched really good early in the week. He's been effective when he has pitched in the past. He's always been a little injury prone, and that could happen again. But I checked Brooks Baseball. He's back up to 95 miles an hour. He's got pretty good secondary stuff. He should be a guy that is owned. I saw Alan out in the interactive chat room. I think Alan owns him in a couple of our dynasty leagues that we play in. So good call there, Alan. So again, why am I hearing voices in my I got to shut down the Cubs-Red Sox game. All of a sudden I heard voices in my ears, and it was a Cubs-Red Sox game, the commercial there going on. But anyway, that's, I do think Jesse Hahn is a guy that I'd be looking to pick up. Justin Wilson with Detroit, they've already demoted Joe Jimenez. He just, first time up, did not pitch well. I think he is your long-term closer in Detroit. But K-Rod has not been consistent at all. It looks like Detroit has got a better team than I think anybody originally thought. They get Miggy Cabrera back this week. But if K-Rod continues to struggle, they could move to Justin Wilson very soon. Again, only 18% owned, and a guy that I think is worthy of a small bid and then a stash. Scott Schebler didn't win out against Adam Duvall last year, but 5 homers, 8 on the year, and 9 RBIs in the past week. He's a guy that I think he came up with the Los Angeles Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken. And I always kind of like to go back and read my stuff about Schebler. But a guy who's got a ton of power and is an Adam Duvall type of player. A lot of swing and miss in this game, but he's a guy that's out there. Didi Gregorius is back, 51% owned. I think he should be owned in pretty much every league. Tim wrote this one up. High-flying Yankee offense. It is a high-flying Yankee offense that probably in about a week to 10 days will get Gary Sanchez back. Aaron Judge looks like the real deal. And I've always said, because I saw Aaron Judge a ton in the minor leagues, he's a big, gigantic man that you would think would have huge holes and a huge swing. But he doesn't, because he has these smaller arms that are not proportioned to his body. And very few people talk about this, but you can see it when you're up close on him. And he kind of swats at the ball. And that's always kept his swing fairly short and compact. And this year he's taken a huge step up in terms of his ability to tell a ball from a strike. And that was kind of his last thing. And that's why I was afraid how much strikeouts he would have this year. But long-term, I always felt like there was 40 home run potential. But what we're seeing right now is a guy who's learning how to hit, and a kid that's, I don't know if he's rookie eligible still, but if he is, it's over, because he will be the rookie of the year. I mean, this is a guy that, I've seen enough at-bats with him, and he is just laying off pitches out of the zone, and that's scary for American League pitchers. Josh Harrison, I'm surprised he's only 38% owned, probably in fantasy league. He doesn't have fantasy-friendly skills, but he's getting everyday playing time, and he's now moved over to third base. We've talked about that whole nonsense with Alan Hansen, but he's in the list, and Tim's got him on the list. Michael Taylor, we talked about Michael Taylor. If you believe in Tim, go out and get him. You believe in me, avoid him. Tim's a smarter, better player than me. but I'm right with Michael Taylor. Zach, see, I can say that because Tim's no longer on the air to defend himself. Zach Eflin is I saw Zach Eflin pitch a couple of weeks ago in AAA, and he was hitting 95. He scraped 96 a couple of times. He had really good stuff, and it really kept the opposing team in check. I was against the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre team and saw him in one of those games. It wasn't against it was the other game because I saw two games, Mark Appel and then Zach Eflin. And Zach Eflin was definitely the better pitcher of the two. And he's absolutely getting it done, only 10 hits and 19 innings pitch. Doesn't have great stuff, so the secondary stuff, so the strikeouts aren't going to be there. But I think he'll keep the Philadelphia Phillies in their in games, and I think he's a worthwhile pickup. Five on the farm to consider. The only new name on there is Ahmad Rosario, 25% own, as Cody Bellinger has moved up to the big boy group now. So Ahmad Rosario is now out there. Look, Jose Reyes started to show little signs of life, but Rosario is doing there's nothing for him to learn in Las Vegas, which is an extreme hitter's park. So I think you're going to see Rosario very soon. Now, will Terry Collins play him? Probably not. Will he play at third? Probably. But you know what? He's a way better defender at shortstop than Asdrubal Cabrera. Have you ever seen Asdrubal Cabrera? I mean, he has lost not just a step, but probably two steps. He should be playing third base and not shortstop. They should move Ahmad Rosario to shortstop. Would they do that? Well, Terry Collins is going to not want to mess up the veteran. I can pretty much guarantee on that. Now, if he played for Houston or Chicago, they would do the right thing, but Terry Collins probably will not. But I think Ahmad Rosario is a guy that can contribute now. And after getting blown out 23 to whatever it was today, I think the Mets are reeling and need to do something to salvage the season. Because if Noah Syndergaard has lost 4 to 6 weeks, and Jacob DeGrom looks like one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. Again, we gave you guys fair warning of that in spring training as well. Hopefully you got a chance to buy him. I know I've got him everywhere. I've always had him everywhere. Come a bunch of dynasty leagues. But they need some players. And Curtis Granderson's not getting it done. Jose Reyes is not getting it done. Jay Bruce is Jay Bruce. And I think Ahmad Rosario could definitely contribute to that team, either at shortstop or at third base. I don't know if Lewis Brinson was on the last week, but Keon Broxton is just not getting it done. He's still batting like 175. I think he's got a 50% strikeout rate or a 45% strikeout rate the last time I looked. I mean, it is awful. So let me Buxton, let me type in Fangraphs Buxton. Oh, I forgot there is Ralph Buxton or it's Byron Buxton. Broxton. How about Broxton? There he is. Keon Broxton. Did I say Keon Buxton? Keon Broxton. Excuse me. I apologize on that. If I said Buxton, I have to go back and listen to that. He's got a 39.7% strikeout rate with a 314 batting average of balls in play and a 185 average. Just so if you're not sabermetrically oriented, that ain't good. That's a guy with an 8.2% walk rate and a 39.7% strikeout rate. So what, just looking at his BABIN and his ISO at 138 and strikeout and walks, what this is telling me is that 185 is fully supported by a 314 batting average of balls in play. So this is a guy last year, 373 with a 242 average, a 373 batting average of balls in play. So we're seeing a correction and a regression. And this is a guy with a skill set of probably a 200 average, which is what I've contended all along. He can hit. And I think we're seeing that. He's got a little bit of pop. He's only got one home run. So obviously he had a little bit of speed, but there's a lot of guys out there. If you cannot hit, you can't be called a five-tool player. Yeah, he's a good defender. He's got a decent arm. It's probably not a five-tool arm, but he's definitely got the speed and the power that would give you five tools. But he can't hit. And if you can't hit, that trumps everything. And that's Keon Broxton's problem. So I think Lewis Brinson – I get off on Keon Broxton. Apologies. Get back to Lewis Brinson. I will tell you, Lewis Brinson is a little bit like Keon Broxton, a guy who's a better defender and got definitely a better arm. So out from a center fielder standpoint, is a better player there. A little bit more power, a little bit more speed than Broxton. But I think they're all similar skill sets, but he can hit. He's got a better hit tool. It's a guy who struck out almost 190 times in low A and has really worked on his hit tool. But don't be surprised if he comes up and has a 30% strikeout rate. And you're calling me up and going, what the heck happened? I drafted Lewis Brinson, or I signed Lewis Brinson, and it's not working out. And I think long term it will work out. I think he'll get the call at some point. Cam Broxton will go down. And Lewis Brinson, I think, is going to be, if he can hit 250, which I think he can, he has a chance to be a monster. That's right, a monster with a capital M fantasy player, because there's 20-20 potential there. And if he can just hit 250, I think that's going to be just fine. 250 with a 320, 330 on base percentage, that's a guy that will play, in my opinion. That's our list, and that's kind of our show. Again, if you want to reach out, you can go out to prospect361.com, ask a 361. That would be me. You can go out to Fantasy and ask Tim on Tim's stage. Ask him a question. We'll get back to you. You can obviously go out to Twitter. That would be Rich Wilson, P361. Yeah, and go to the bullpen, P361. Bullpen, that's Alan Servinus and the gang out there. They can annoy me to no end, but hey, everybody seems to like it. It's cleaned up a lot, and kudos out to Alan on that. He's really cleaned that group up a lot. And I've gone out and just observed a little bit over the last couple of weeks, and seems to be a lot of good baseball talk and fantasy baseball talk. Not some of the nonsense that we had right before the season started. Maybe people were just tired of talking without games, but now as games have started, that bullpen area has really picked up. So if you like talking baseball, like talking fantasy baseball, I would encourage you to go out to the Facebook page, P361 bullpen, and Tim's out there, Alan's out there, and Dr. Mershak's always out there, Jory's out there. There's a lot of really good baseball minds out there that you can crowdsource on, so I encourage you to do that. That's it for our show. Everyone, have a good week, and we will talk to you soon.